Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Live from Music City Autoplex, 2430 Gallatin Pike, 15 minutes from downtown Nashville. Glad you're with us. Final hour, just like that, it's here. Been discussing the brackets, about to continue to do that. But Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports, who, Chad, was out on Tennessee, then back in on Tennessee, and then we're not sure where he is after the Auburn matchup.
Yeah, Pat Forty joins us right now. Tennessee, you know, they've done a lot in the last month. They get blown out at Kentucky.
Yep.
They blow Kentucky out at home. They lose at Auburn in a close one. They beat Kentucky in a classic in the semi of the SEC tournament. And then they get blown out by Auburn in the SEC championship game, and they get the number two seed. Five losses on the season for Tennessee. So, Pat, we'll start right there. What do you think about Tennessee and the overall state of that team as they head into this NCAA tournament?
Well, you know, I think in some ways the loss to Auburn was predictable, coming off a absolute war with Kentucky and a very emotional game, and a game I think they really wanted to win. And the letdown the next day was probably fairly natural. Now, to get blown out, that raises a little bit of a warning flag. You know, you see that, and it's almost like when Gonzaga scored 47, it's like, oh, wait a minute. I thought this team was good. What happened? But, you know, I still think, I think Tennessee's got a good draw. I think they're a very good team. I think they've got a chance. You know, somebody in the South region is going to the Final Four for the first time in a long time slash ever. And so I kind of like where Tennessee is sitting going into that.
Do you have any problem with Tennessee possibly playing Cincinnati in that second round game in Columbus, just a short drive up the road from Cincinnati, or does that not really matter?
It's probably not ideal to give somebody that much of a geographic advantage, but at the same time, it's also the closest site for Tennessee. You know, you head up 75 to Cincinnati and you cut a right at there to Columbus. That's going to be, let me guess, you know, that's like 4 hour drive. That's manageable. I expect to see a lot of orange in there for that game. And quite frankly, Tennessee has a bigger fan base than Cincinnati does. So I don't think that's a prohibitive thing.
Pat Forty with Yahoo Sports, our guest here on the Midday 180. Pat, do you like the fact that Belmont got in as an at-large team?
I love the fact that Belmont got in. I thought that was great. You know, I thought they were deserving. They've had a great season. They lost to a good Murray State team in a good final. They had beaten Murray on Murray's court. They swept Lipscomb. They won at UCLA. Nobody wants to schedule them. So I give Belmont a lot of credit. I would like to have seen Lipscomb get in as well, or a second team from the Southern Conference. I don't need to see St. John's or Temple or Arizona State in there. I would have rather seen a couple of more mid-majors, but I'm glad at least somebody got in from the mid-major ranks as an at-large.
Pat, I've argued today that this could be the biggest moment in Belmont basketball history to actually have the committee invite them in and not be an automatic qualifier. Obviously, Rick Bird has not won an NCAA tournament game, so that would be a huge step. Do you feel like Belmont needs to go into this play-in game and get a win to prove some of those doubters wrong and maybe constantly put themselves in the discussion for an at-large berth?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some pressure that comes with getting that. You know, now you've got to justify the inclusion to a degree. And as you said, Belmont has not won an NCAA tournament game. They've come close a couple of times, but that's the next step. Go win a game in the tournament, and yes, if you are granted the benefit of the doubt of being an at-large team, then there's a little bit of onus on you to prove you earned it. I think it's a good even kind of matchup. It's not like they're going in as a 14 or a 15 as they maybe have in the past, and you're matched up with somebody. This is obviously a team that is pretty similar in terms of resume. And so, you know, I expect Belmont to win. We'll see what Nick Mazinski's status is, but I expect him to win the game.
Pat Forte, Yahoo Sports, with us on the Midday 180. Pat, this tournament starts with Duke as the leader of the pack, but after that, there's a mix of teams that you could pull from to be that next true contender. Who do you turn to out of that next group that you think can win this tournament?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because to me it's like eight teams have separated, and those were all the top seeds, all the ones and all the twos, and I think they have definitely had the best seasons. I think you have to scrounge a little bit to look past that, maybe a Texas Tech or somebody, although they were horrible in their conference tournament. But really, you know, I don't have a lot of problems with what the committee did, but I think one of the major problems was putting Michigan State and Duke in the same region. That's almost a national championship level game that's going to be played at the Elite Eight level. I think that's a disservice to both of those teams. Michigan State should have been elsewhere, maybe as a one seed, and Duke should have had an easier two to play against. So, you know, I think those two are right at the top. I like North Carolina as well. I would say those are my three teams, really, I think, that I probably like the most.
It feels like every time we say a team has a really good draw, something happens where they don't get the draw you expect or they get bounced early. But just looking at the bracket, first glance, Kentucky has a really favorable draw to go deep into this tournament. What do you think about where Kentucky is and the matchups possibly if they continue to advance?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously the chance to play a Wofford there, I just don't know whether Wofford has the athletes to hang with Kentucky. Wofford's good. They've had a really good season, and they deserve a seven seed, but that's a tough matchup there. I think Houston can give Kentucky a game, or Iowa State. Either one of those teams could give Kentucky a game in the Sweet 16. And then, you know, Kentucky, North Carolina in a regional final, saw that 2 years ago, went down to the last shot. Luke May won it at the buzzer. They played each other once already this year. North Carolina or Kentucky won that game in December, and that's really kind of when Kentucky turned around from a bad first month. But I think North Carolina's playing better now. So, I mean, yeah, Kentucky's in good shape. For once, Calipari can't sit there and complain about the draw, though I'm sure he still did.
Pat Forte, Yahoo Sports, is our guest. The selection committee every year shows that they have a sense of humor. They did that again this year with a couple of draws and possible second-round matchups also. Top of the list to me is Louisville as a 7 seed playing Minnesota as a 10 seed. You've got Rick Pitino's old team taking on his son's team in round one.
Yeah, that to me, that's I said in on our live broadcast yesterday, this is Richard Pitino's chance to be Michael Corleone and settle all family business. And if you saw The Godfather, he will get things straight here. And maybe seek a measure of revenge for Louisville firing his dad. But that is a really awkward game. It's awkward for Pitino. It's awkward for Chris Mack. It's awkward for Louisville. But, yeah, you know what? They not only – okay, the committee can say, we didn't really mean to do it, but I know this. Where did CBS put it? The very first game of the tournament. Because they want people looking at the first game. Well, that's one that will draw some eyeballs.
Pat Forte with us. Pat, is there a player right now that you think the nation is about to meet mainly for the first time over the first weekend of this tournament?
Well, sure. There's several of those guys out there. You know, I think there's quite a few of the mid-major guys. I like Fletcher McGee from Wofford. He can just shoot the lights out of it. He leads the nation in three-pointers made. He's a career 43% guy. He's an unbelievable catch-and-shoot guy, kind of almost like a J.J. Redick, where he's going to be catching, turning, and shooting almost in the same motion, where it doesn't even look like he's looking at the basket. Wofford as a team can really shoot it, and that might be their puncher's chance if they end up against Kentucky is, you know, they're a team that can go out and make 12, 15 threes in a game and really kind of put pressure on a defense.
It's kind of an awkward time in the SEC outside of Tennessee and Kentucky as number two seed. You have LSU as a three seed with everything going on around them. Auburn, the hottest team in conference, just won the championship yesterday. They are a number five seed. A lot of predictions have them going deep in the tournament. But with all of the stuff going on around LSU, around Auburn in this federal investigation as well, Is this at all awkward to you, or are you able to kind of separate that once it's tournament time and not think about any of those things? And do you think those teams are that way as well?
Well, the teams better be.
yeah.
You know, I can take in kind of the whole context, and to me, I don't think you can completely throw out the context. I mean, the games themselves are fun, and boy, I mean, I really like LSU's team if it has a coach, and I'm not sure Tony Benford proved to anybody that he's ready to coach that team to go anywhere in the NCAA tournament from what happened in Nashville, but, I mean, Naz Reid is a monster. To me, that's a top, he's a top 10 pick. Tremont Waters, fantastic athlete. Javonte Smart, great athlete. I mean, they've got guys. It's just a matter of what happens without a head coach, who's a good coach. He's just also on FBI wiretap talking about a strong-ass offer. So there's issues there. you know, Auburn, I think, is kind of a different deal. You know, most of that stuff really doesn't really, I don't think, materially affect this team. The biggest problem for Auburn is drawing a 12 seed that I think can beat them. New Mexico State, a 30-win team. They play 13 guys. They just run guys at you constantly. And we'll see if Auburn can stand up to that just from a conditioning and stamina standpoint.
Earlier you gave a surprise player from a team that certainly not many people across the country are watching. How about this surprise player possibly for people who have not been paying attention to Gonzaga all year? Brandon Clark, I know you listed him in your 40 minutes. What do you think about him and the chances that maybe this is a breakout-type tourney for this Gonzaga star?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, he's a heck of a player. You know, he's a transfer from San Jose State, and I don't think anybody really expected him to do what he's done. Rui Hachimura, who's an outstanding player for them, everybody was kind of like he was the star, but Brandon Clark has just put up fantastic numbers, 6'8", really athletic, block shots, makes steals, makes a lot of shots. I mean, he's a guy who plays around the basket. He's, you know, explosive leaper. The three games here in March, I'm looking it up right now, he's 19 for 23 from the field. So, you know, he takes good shots, he makes them, and he's also a real impactor on the defensive end.
We got a lot of Murray State fans in our listening audience. Is it too easy for me to just go ahead and circle Murray State to advance as a 12-5, given how Marquette finished the season? Or does Marquette have something for Murray State in this game?
Well, it won't be easy, I don't think, for Murray. I mean, I'm almost certainly going to pick Murray to win the game. But, I mean, Marquette's good. Obviously, Marcus Howard's an incredible shooter, and when he gets on a roll, you really can't stop him. He's had three games over 40 points. He had one over 50 this year. And Marquette does have size. And this is not, you know, a great Murray State team inside. But I do think, look, John Morant is legit. They've got two other good guards to play with him. I think they've got enough pieces that they can do it. And I'm not sold on Marquette. They've ended the season very poorly. They lost five of their last six. They were just turning over the ball in torrents. They couldn't hold late leads. So if Murray State hangs in there and stays calm and doesn't panic if they fall behind, late in the game, it's been proven, Marquette, there's a good chance they're going to let you back in it. So we'll see if Murray State can do that.
Pat, where are you headed on Thursday?
Well, it's a good question. I'm actually going to Austin, Texas on Wednesday to watch my daughter swim in the NCAA Swimming Championships. And I'll be watching games from there, and then I'm going to head to somewhere. I'm not sure yet. TBD. We're going to wait and kind of see, you know, where the big stories are developing for Saturday and Sunday.
We'll be following you on Twitter. We'll be reading your work also. Pat, thanks so much. Really appreciate the visit.
All right, guys. My pleasure. Thank you.
It's time to tee it up for Team Hutton 104.5. Olympian Construction presents the inaugural Midday Masters at Topgolf. Thursday, April 4th, teams of six will compete for top prizes, with best overall golfer taking home the Midday Masters green jacket. All proceeds benefit the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Tennessee. To register your team, visit Hutton1045.com. It's the Midday Masters, presented by Olympian Construction. Thursday, April 4th at Topgolf.